51% of American adults have been fully vaccinated.
But the U.S. is under pressure to do more on a global scale. This is Monday, May 31st, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also ahead, a new coronavirus variant in Asia. A growing cluster of infections in Australia lead to a strict stay-at-home order. You'll hear from the family of an American journalist being held in Myanmar. More on U.S. Republicans saying no to an investigation of the attack on the Capitol and a change in official reaction to unidentified flying objects. It's all on today's VOA Asia. President Joe Biden hailed increased vaccination rates at home, but the U.S. continues to be accused of not doing enough to fight the pandemic around the world and is under pressure to come up with a global COVID-19 strategy when Biden meets with heads of other advanced economies at next month's G7 summit. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Swara has this report.
COVID shots are easy to come by in most parts of the U.S., including the subway station in New York. Vaccination rates have also been boosted by creative incentives, including state lotteries. This 22-year-old from Ohio won $1 million just for getting her jab.
Probably going to invest most of it.
On Friday, President Joe Biden celebrated the country's fight against COVID.
Now, 51% of American adults have been fully vaccinated. 75% of seniors fully vaccinated.
But his administration is under pressure to do more globally, including to shore up commitments from the world's leading economies at the G7 summit in June. Jenny Ottenhoff is Senior Policy Director for Global Health at the One Campaign.
It's going to be pretty much the first moment at this stage in the pandemic, when rich countries are beginning to see the light at the end of the tunnel, to show unequivocally that rich countries are going to stand up and help put this pandemic out globally. If they don't make that statement at the G7, I think they've missed a huge opportunity, and I'm not sure what the future holds.
Global pandemic recovery will be a focus at the G7. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki told VOA on board Air Force One this week.
What is happening now behind the scenes is that there is an internal policy process to determine how we can do that in an equitable and transparent way. I know you are all eager to know where they are going and what our process will be. We certainly understand that. We hope to have more soon.
The most immediate concern is addressing the global vaccine inequity. United Nations agencies have noted that by the end of June, COVAX, the UN mechanism to distribute vaccines to middle and lower income countries, will face a shortfall of 190 million doses. This is partly due to delivery delays from the Serum Institute of India as the country struggles to address its COVID surge. The world must also get ready for the next health crisis. Alex Long is a global public health security researcher at the Wilson Center.
The next pandemic is either right around the corner in terms of decades, years, months, weeks, days. So if we don't iron out a process for every single notch in the chain up until and including vaccination right now, we're going to be caught flat-footed the next time this happens.
At the World Health Organization, countries including the U.S. delayed until November negotiations to create an international pandemic treaty. Proposed by the European Union, the Global Framework Convention on Pandemic Preparedness and Response seeks to ensure countries' political commitment to fighting future pandemics. Patsy Whitaker-Swara, VOA News.
Authorities in Vietnam have detected a new coronavirus variant that is a combination of the Indian and UK COVID-19 variants and spreads quickly by air. That according to the health minister. Emily Withers reports.
Authorities in Vietnam have detected a new coronavirus variant that is a combination of the Indian and UK COVID-19 variants. The country's health minister says it spreads quickly by air and has described the hybrid variant as very dangerous. After successfully containing the virus for most of last year, Vietnam is grappling with a spike in infections since late April. Quoted in local media, the minister says the authorities will announce the name and detailed characteristics of the newly discovered variant soon, saying lab cultures show it is much more transmissible than the previously known types. He said that could explain why so many new cases have appeared in different parts of the country within a short period of time. The World Health Organization has identified four variants of COVID-19 of global concern. These include variants that emerged first in India, in Britain, in South Africa, and in Brazil. Officials at the WHO did not immediately respond to a request for comment regarding the new variant identified in Vietnam.
Reuters Emily Withers reporting. Vietnam's business hub, Ho Chi Minh City, will begin social distancing measures for 15 days starting May 31st in an effort to curb the spread of COVID-19. Stay with us on VOA Asia as we hear how many Asian nations are dealing with the continuing pandemic. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now at voanews.com. Myanmar's COVID-19 outbreak hits the health system shattered after the coup. South Korea says a million doses of J&J COVID-19 vaccines will arrive this week from the United States. An Iranian flagged tanker seized by Indonesia in January over the suspected illegal transfer of oil has been released. Mortar shells hit Afghan wedding, killing at least six. Huge swaths of farmland swamped in eastern India after cyclone. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. Record numbers of COVID-19 vaccinations have been completed in Australia as a snap 7-day lockdown continues in that nation's second most populous state. 7 million people in Victoria are subject to strict stay-at-home orders after a growing cluster of infections was detected in recent days. Australia has managed to mostly contain the coronavirus through lockdowns, the closure of its international borders, and strict quarantine measures for returning citizens. But the national vaccination program has been beset by supply issues and hesitancy among many Australians. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
There are estimated to be 100 active coronavirus cases in Australia, according to the health department. About half are in Victoria, which is under a 7-day lockdown. It's the state's fourth shutdown since the pandemic began. The number of infections in Australia is small compared to other countries, including Japan, Brazil, and the United States. However, community transmission of the virus has been rare in recent months, and the outbreak in Victoria is significant. There's been complacency in the community and mounting hesitancy about vaccines and possible side effects, which have delayed the national inoculation plan. Health authorities in Victoria, though, have said the lockdown has sent residents flocking to injection centres across the country in record numbers. However, some experts believe that it might be too late to prevent another wave of infections in Australia's second most populous state. Dr. Michelle Ananda-Raja is an infectious diseases expert at Melbourne's Alfred Hospital.
We've been here before. I think, though, that the stakes are higher this time because we have all the factors for what is essentially a perfect storm. We have a largely unvaccinated population, we have winter approaching, and we have an unforgiving variant on the loose at the moment. You know, Victoria is primed at the moment for a third wave, and we need to do everything possible to prevent that from happening.
Melbourne, the Victoria state capital, endured Australia's longest COVID-19 lockdown last year. Once again, the nation's second biggest city finds itself under tight restrictions. Masks are now mandatory. Places of worship and schools are closed. Victorians can only leave home for essential work, shopping, exercise, caregiving, or to get a coronavirus vaccine. Businesses are facing heavy losses. A man infected with a highly contagious COVID-19 variant, who stayed at a quarantine hotel for returning travellers, is thought to be the source of the outbreak. Australia has recorded just over 30,000 coronavirus cases and 910 deaths since the pandemic began, according to government statistics. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Authorities in India said Sunday the country will have almost 120 million COVID-19 vaccine doses for domestic use next year, a significant increase from the 79.4 million available for the month of May. India has inoculated with two shots only about 3% of its 1.35 billion people. The Malaysia government has announced it's planning to open more so-called mega vaccination centers as that country marked a new daily record of COVID-19 infections. Happening now in Asia, South Korea's President Moon Jae-in said Sunday that the country will raise its goal for reducing greenhouse gas emissions and create a $5 million Green New Deal fund to help speed up developing countries' transitions to renewable energy. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Thank you for spending time with us on VOA Asia. Myanmar's military arrested American journalist Danny Fenster last week. VOA's Asia Sarai speaks with his brother about Fenster's work and the family's campaign to bring him home.
When Myanmar's military overthrew the government in February, American journalist Danny Fenster was well-placed to cover it. For the past 2 years, the Detroit native has worked for the local outlet Frontier Myanmar. But on Monday, he was arrested trying to leave Yangon.
I woke up early Monday morning and had a bunch of messages from his wife, Juliana. I couldn't get in touch with her because she was trying to take care of business and see what was going on. And I was able to talk to a coworker of his at Frontier Myanmar who kind of filled me in. As you can imagine, I think we're still in shock a little bit, honestly.
As the military cracked down on protests over the coup, Fenster kept in regular contact with his family in the U.S., letting them know what was happening or if he needed to be out of contact.
This isn't a secret that the military would literally hunt people down, go to their homes, kidnap them. So a lot of reporters were staying in safe houses. Their families weren't safe in their homes. So, we're grateful he was at his desk. We feel for all these other people.
The United Nations says Fenster is one of over 80 journalists arrested by the junta.
The arrests of journalists and the violence used by the military on anyone caught trying to report or record their actions constitute an extraordinary attack on freedom of expression in Myanmar.
A Japanese journalist who was detained twice in Myanmar before being deported called on his government and the international community to hold the military accountable.
There are many things which I was asked by Myanmar people to report to the world. Going forward, I would like to report those things to people in Japan and many other countries.
Journalists and their loved ones across the world have underscored the importance of a free press as Myanmar continues to crack down on reporting.
He cares deeply about people, about truth, about the press. So naturally it brought him there to do what he's doing.
Since February 1st, the military has arrested 4,000 people and killed 800, rights groups say. But with media also under attack and journalists arrested, it is becoming harder to know what is happening in Myanmar.
First and foremost, we want my brother home immediately, safe. But there's a larger... He's part of a larger thing happening here. Journalism is not a crime, right? They're the eyes and ears for all of us, for the world. And it's a threat to democracy everywhere, for sure.
Isha Sarai, VOA News, Washington.
This is VOA Asia.
After you listen to VOA Asia, see it. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free and see us often on VOA Asia YouTube.
This news from VOA Asia. The Philippines protested what they term China's continuing illegal presence and activities near an island in the South China Sea held by the Southeast Asian nation. All of the big stories come your way through today on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Republicans in the U.S. Senate voted Friday to block legislation that would create a panel to investigate the deadly January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol, where lawmakers were meeting to certify President Joe Biden's election victory over Donald Trump. VOA's Laurel Bowman has the story.
It was a sight that stunned the nation and the world. Supporters of then-President Donald Trump storming the U.S. Capitol, battling police, and overrunning congressional offices, looking for lawmakers and then-Vice President Mike Pence. So far, more than 400 people have been charged in the assault that left five people dead, including Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick, whose mother urged Republican senators to vote for a commission to investigate the day's events.
Just look at the footage of what all these people went through and all these police officers did to make them safe, to keep them safe.
But after a drawn-out voting process on Thursday and Friday, Republicans secured enough votes to defeat a measure creating a bipartisan panel to investigate what happened. Kyle Condick of the University of Virginia's Center for Politics spoke to us via Skype.
The Democrats sort of offered Republicans a chance to participate or to have some larger role in this commission over the January 6th events. Even though this bill got Republican votes in the U.S. House, it doesn't seem like the U.S. Senate Republicans are going to want to vote for this thing.
Republican Senator Mitch McConnell said he did not believe the commission would uncover anything of significance.
I do not believe the additional extraneous commission that Democratic leaders want would uncover crucial new facts or promote healing. Frankly, I do not believe it is even designed to do that.
Regardless of the Senate vote, Democrats can hold their own hearings, but that would be a departure from past commissions. Norm Ornstein of the American Enterprise Institute spoke to us via Skype.
The 9/11 Commission had bipartisan buy-in, even if both sides were equally enthusiastic. Even the impeachment of Richard Nixon, going back to the early 1970s, was done in a bipartisan fashion. The investigation in the Senate and ultimately the hearings leading up to articles of impeachment in the House of Representatives. Almost always when we've had a crisis before, even one that had strong partisan elements, we've seen strong bipartisanship. Not now.
Analysts say with 2022 midterm elections taking shape, Republicans want voters focused on President Joe Biden and not on former President Donald Trump. Norm Ornstein of the American Enterprise Institute spoke to us via Skype.
Republicans want to forget what happened on January 6th, and they want the country to have a case of collective amnesia.
Election politics always play a role in congressional votes, but analysts worry that the failure to investigate the attack on the Capitol is a worrying sign for the country's deeply polarized politics. Laurel Bowman, VOA News, Washington.
Making headlines in Asia, Sri Lanka launched a criminal probe on Sunday into a massive container ship fire that has swamped the island nation's coast with plastic pollution, an unprecedented marine disaster. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, videos of Navy pilots pursuing flying objects with amazing capabilities have struck a nerve in Washington. Matt Dibble looks into the latest UFO mystery.
When it comes to UFOs, U.S. officials are typically tight-lipped, but that is changing.
There's a whole fleet of them. Look on the ASA. My gosh.
In this video, taken from a U.S. Navy jet, we hear crew reacting to what appears to be a craft flying at high speed and in astonishing ways.
Well, if there's like, look at that thing. It's rotating.
The video comes from a covert Pentagon task force established in 2007 and charged with collecting and analyzing encounters with what are now known as unidentified aerial phenomena, or UAP. After three videos were leaked and posted online, the Pentagon confirmed in 2020 that they are authentic recordings made by Navy personnel. The disclosure has officials at the highest levels of government treating UFOs with a new urgency and openness, including former President Barack Obama, who had this to say on The Late Late Show with James Corden.
There's footage and records of objects in the skies that we don't know exactly what they are. We can't explain how they moved, their trajectory.
The Pentagon is expected to issue a report soon, providing Congress and the public with an analysis of UFO data from multiple government agencies. Senator Marco Rubio has championed the task force looking into the unidentified aerial phenomena. He talked to Fox Business.
There are things flying over national security installations. We don't know who they are. We don't know what it is. It isn't ours. We need to find out.
It's been 70 years since the Pentagon opened its first UFO study. In recent decades, there has been little official acknowledgement of the phenomenon, though sightings have continued. These cases are often researched by citizen groups. One of the oldest UFO organizations is the Center for the Study of UFOs, led by Mark Rodiger, who spoke with VOA via Skype.
We've been studying UFOs for all these years, and almost all of the evidence is witness testimony. You know, it's understandable. It's exciting. It convinced me years ago and still does, but it is just witness testimony. And you need something beyond that. That's why the Navy videos or all the data is so exciting.
One of the most prominent incidents took place off the coast of California. A U.S. aircraft carrier's radar began to pick up multiple craft moving in unusual ways. Two F-18 jets were sent to investigate. Both pilots and their crewmates described a five-minute encounter with a cylindrical craft that one described as not behaving within the normal laws of physics. After the craft abruptly disappeared, it reappeared on radar 60 miles away. Determining if such objects pose a threat is the report's mandate. But some observers, like Mark Rodiger, hope the study will go even further in search of answers.
And that's really the point that those of us in the field have always said, is that there's a real phenomena. It deserves serious study.
Matt Dibble for VOA News.
According to the National Association of Realtors, 2020 saw the highest housing demand in the United States since 2006. Experts predict the market will remain high for at least 6 months. Licia Bacales has the story, narrated by Anna Rice.
Alyssa McCree and her husband planned to move from Washington, D.C. to the suburbs when their daughter graduated from high school. And just as their daughter was preparing to graduate, the pandemic hit, and the couple stumbled upon their perfect home.
This house had been on the market for a month or more when we found it, and we really didn't have any competition at that stage because I think everybody was afraid to go look at houses.
They listed their home for sale in April of 2020 and were prepared to wait for months to find a buyer.
We accepted an offer on the house after it was on the market for like 3 days, and they offered us more than what we were asking.
Since April 2020, the housing market in the country has been growing, mostly thanks to the record low interest rates, only about 2.7% on average in 2020, according to the National Association of Realtors.
So they took the advantage of the low rates, and home sales increased 20% above the pre-pandemic levels.
Millennials entered the housing competition very actively, and they make up roughly 22% of U.S. population, and there are simply not enough houses for everyone who is looking to buy. High demand, coupled with a shortage of houses, cause a spike in housing prices. Felicia Bacalets in Washington, NRI's VOA News.
Thank you for joining us. Thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Jim Stevenson, Amy Heibels, Keith Lane, and Doug Bernard. I'm Ira Melman. Please stay safe and enjoy the day ahead.